Nick Keyser, one of the more unlikely guys to go to a deep cut from the Top Gun soundtrack, but I like it. Well done. It's time to talk hockey with Elliot Friedman. He joins us here on the show a little earlier than normal, adjusting to his schedule a little bit here. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you from Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena, Predators and the New York Islanders tonight. Elliot, good to talk to you.
Well, thanks very much for, I wanted to say thank you very much for going around my schedule. I don't like to bounce around yours, but this one couldn't be avoided, so I do appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Now, that's no problem, Elliot, at all, but I got to know, I'm guessing, since you and I are close to the same age, it could be possible. Did you have the Top Gun soundtrack back in the day?
Oh, absolutely I did. Absolutely I did. First of all, like all those songs, huge parts of my childhood. If I'm not, I wasn't as crazy about the Take My Breath Away song by Berlin, but I believe that year, I was not a senior in high school then, but at the prom, I believe that was the last song, like the final dance song was Take My Breath Away. So even though I wasn't the biggest fan of that particular song, it brought back great memories. I took my son to see the new Top Gun movie this time, and when, you know, the Danger Zone song came on, like right at the beginning, I was like, wow, this brings back so much. And my son looked at me like I had three heads, but I had a good time.
That's right. I think all of us from that age, I think they did that movie right, for sure. D-Base, I know you saw that one, right?
Oh, of course, yes. Had to see that one.
Well, Elliot, let's start off with this. I know the GM meetings took place earlier this week. One of the things that came up, and I heard you and Jeff Merrick kicking it around, is the offside challenge. Now, in my mind, I just don't see a better way, especially now that they've streamlined it. It's much easier. It seems like when you see that challenge for an offside now, if your team has scored the goal, you're saying, uh-oh, it's coming back, because they know so well now whether it is or is not. So I know that there was a really exciting goal that was wiped out the other day, but I just don't know that there's a better way to do it. Do you agree?
I do agree with you on that. First of all, the reason that was moderately controversial, and you're talking about Trevor Zegras in Anaheim, he scored a beautiful, incredible lacrosse-style goal that was wiped up by an offside review, is because the offside occurred, I believe it was 29 seconds before the goal was scored, something like that. And there, when they first went to this challenge, Willie, one of the things that they talked about was, you know, how long should it last? Like, there were some GMs who were former players who felt that, look, if someone got into your zone and they were offside, but you didn't clear the puck in 15 seconds, that's your own fault. They said there's no way you should get the reward of a missed call if you can't get the puck out of your own zone. And there were some people who did feel that way. But the league felt very strongly that if it was offside, the whole play was tainted. And they made it very clear if the rule was coming in, that was going to be the way it was. And what I think it comes down to is, how do you want the Stanley Cup awarded? Would you ever want the Stanley Cup awarded on a goal like that? And the answer was no. And I think they had some conversations about it this time. I just think, guys, it's going to be very difficult for anyone to change that rule.
So the Islanders are in town here tonight. There's a lot of history, of course, with Lane Lambert was once an assistant coach for Barry Trotz with the Predators. Yep. And, of course, he followed Barry Trotz to Washington, then to New York. Now he's got the job. And the Islanders are playing really well right now. They've won 9 out of 11. How are they doing it?
Well, for one thing, they've got one of the best goalies in the league, and he's not a household name yet. I don't know who's playing tonight. I didn't check and see for the Islanders if it's Sorokin or Varlamov. But Ilya Sorokin, who's their starter, he's one of the best young goalies in the league, and he'll win a Vezina trophy by the time his career is done. So, you know, that's one thing. They have a great young goalie who's having a really good year. The other thing, too, is, you know, the Islanders rarely beat themselves. They have a way they play. They stick to that. You know, Derek, you would compare that to a good system football team, like a team that has a way they're supposed to play and everybody commits to that. I think the Islanders are very much like that, particularly defensively. One of the things that a couple of teams have told me is that their defensemen shoot the puck a bit more. I know there were some teams who felt last year that you didn't have to worry too much about some of their defensemen. They have a really good young one in Noah Dobson, who had 51 points last year, but they felt generally that a lot of their other D, you know, never really shot the puck too much or were threats to score. And I think the Islanders have tried to at least open that up with their offense a bit, putting the puck in some of their sticks, trying to at least create the impression that some of those guys can be a bit more dangerous. And I think it's opened up their offense a little bit. They've got a guy there, Matthew Barzal. He hasn't scored yet, but he's got the most assists in the league without a goal, and he's a really talented guy. And if I was worried about one thing for Nashville is when that guy scores, it's going to be a couple of them at once, and you don't want it to be against you.
Yeah, I hope it happens next week for sure. But, yeah, that is an odd – I know your man Jeff Merrick would be all over this, and I had some people doing some research on this. Apparently it's the most assists by a forward without scoring a goal – in 17 games ever. That's crazy. 18 assists without a goal.
And first of all, I should say, Nick, the producer, did a great job sending me the note that Sorokin was the first goalie off, so it looks like it's Sorokin tonight against you guys. Okay. So it's good to see that. It's nice to have a producer who actually listens to what's happening on the air. We don't get that in Toronto. But as you guys know, we joke about it in hockey. It's called the Cy Young. Like, there was a guy, Brandon Peary, a few years ago for the Florida Panthers. I think he had 22 goals and 4 assists. So we were joking that he won the Cy Young Award. Because this is the reverse Cy Young. You don't win the Cy Young if you're 0-18, that's for sure. Very strange stat. He's a hell of a player, though. Really good player.
Now, over the last two games, Elliot, we've seen UC sort of come back into form. He's allowed 2 goals in 2 games. And it's crazy to say, because at the beginning of the season, you're thinking, okay, if he's only allowed 2 goals in 2 games, that's just typical UC. But we've seen what he has done in the first, early part of the season. He wasn't playing as well. But it seems like now he's sort of picking up his game a little bit. What do you see from him? And do you think this is more than just a 2-game sample? You think this is how he's going to be from here on out?
Well, I hope so, number one. And number two, I tend to believe that players get back to who they really are. And we all know that UC Saros is a really good goalie, one of the better ones in the league. And I think the UC Saros we've seen recently is more true to who he is than the UC Saros we saw at the beginning of the league, at the beginning of the season. So I would just say that I would tend to believe he would get back there. I would tend to believe that this is who he is, and I hope it continues. I think one of the things that I've seen, in your game the other night, who were some of your best players? Who produced? Matthew Shane had 2 points. Ryan Johansson had 2 points. Tonight in Toronto, the Devils are here. They're number one in the league. They've won 10 games in a row. I'm working that game tonight. And if you ask anybody, why one of the reasons the Devils have won, it's because they always have the puck. You're chasing them; they're not chasing you. They've gotten a lot better at defending in the neutral zone. It's much harder to get in their zone than it was in years past. And as a result, they have the puck a lot. And you don't score when you don't have the puck. And what I saw the other night against Minnesota was I saw 2 of your best offensive players producing. Leading the way offensively, and I think everybody's going to look better when guys like Johansson and Duchene are picking up 2 points a night in a tight, tight game.
Looking at the Central, Elliot, you've got the Winnipeg Jets, who before the season, they kind of like the Islanders, not a whole lot of changes, and the season didn't go great last year, so nobody was really talking about them, but man, they're playing some really good hockey right now.
Yeah, they look really good. They have changed the way they play. One of my broadcast partners, Kevin Bieksa, the guy who got beaten up in Nashville, as you guys reminded him about a year ago.
We tried to remind him. He defended himself pretty well, I have to say.
Oh, yeah. Tell Kevin he lost the fight. Like, it's impossible. Like, he'll just never accept it. He showed – we had them last Saturday night against Calgary, and even though they lost the game, he showed some video of just, things they've done to commit to playing better team defense. I think Winnipeg was a team that was really loose last year. Rick Bowness, who's their new head coach, he's really good. He was he made his mark as an assistant coach in the NHL, teaching defensemen to play better individual and teams to defend better as a group. And it's very noticeable with Winnipeg right away. Like, they're just in, there's just more people in, they always seem to have a third forward high in the offensive zone. And as a result, it's very difficult to get odd man rushes against them. The other thing someone told me is one of the players said, it's like playing for your grandfather. He doesn't yell at you, but when he's disappointed in you, he gives you that look that makes you feel crushingly bad. And I just think that that's his approach. He demands accountability from the way you play, but he's not really a screamer or anything like that. But you just know when you've let him down. And look, I think the Islanders wanted to make a ton of changes too. They didn't. You know, I have to tell you guys, I've seen, there's a lot of situations this year in the league. Vegas is one. You know, Bruce Cassidy, it was clear his voice had gone flat in Boston. He goes to Vegas. Look how much they've improved. Peter DeBoer, it was clear his voice had gone stale in Vegas. He goes to Dallas. Look at how they've improved. Rick Bonus, his voice went stale in Dallas. He goes to Winnipeg. Look how much they've improved. Like, I have this theory now. I remember Larry Bird, he quit as coach of the Indiana Pacers after 3 years. And the players said, no, we want you to stay. And he's like, nope, 3 years, that's the limit. That's when a coach starts to go stale. And I've thought about that a lot this year. And I just think that sometimes if you're not going to change your group, if your player core is going to stay the same, I think it's really hard. Like, that's why it amazes me how long Trott stayed in Nashville. It amazes me what John Cooper is doing in Tampa. Like, I really think that some of these guys, they just need a change in the way they're told to do something or asked to do something. And we're seeing it in several places in the league right now.
It is pretty interesting to see right now. Elliot, thanks a lot for joining us as always. And we'll hopefully talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Take good care. Have a great weekend.